welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune, and before Tom and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, looking back, you know, last week, 100th career win for you against a pretty decent Capital City team.
Yeah, I mean, after the game, I said, obviously, any milestone, any record that a player or a coach gets, it really is a team award because it takes so many people to run a football program. You know, I'm blessed with a lot of great coaches and hardworking players, and I'm just proud to be leading this program. And it was nice to get that milestone victory for a lot of reasons. It was homecoming. My son made it back for the game. Hale doesn't get a chance to come back to too many games. So to get that 100th win with my whole family here was important to me as well. All focus and all eyes are on this really biggest game of the year.
Like I say, you know, this really is a big game for a lot of reasons. Conference, city championship, it's Jeff City. There are all kinds of reasons that you should be focused this week.
Yeah, and there is. And we've certainly reminded the kids of all that this week, although they really didn't need reminding this week. You know, the focus has been really good. We know what's at stake. Obviously, continuing, holding the Mayor's Cup and continuing our dominance of the city rivalry is important to us. And, of course, outright conference championships on the line as well. JC has really improved. They're a good team. They've gotten a lot better. Wilson's a really good quarterback. We know we're going to have to play well. But it's something I think we've had a great week of practice, and we're prepared to do that.
You know, offensively, it seems like they spread the ball around a little bit between a lot of backs. Does that make it more difficult to prepare for them?
Every week our scout team simulates the opponent's offense. This has been the most difficult week for our scout team offense. We've done a really good job, but it takes so much preparation to run this offense to get our defense a good look. But yeah, you know, with all the moving parts and the motion and the misdirection, if you don't have good eye discipline, you can get yourself in the wrong place. I think we've had a good week of practice defensively, and you know, our scout team offense, I think it's done a really good job. And it just, I think, emphasizes how difficult it is to stop this offense and why they're doing so well.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. And before we look forward to the big game this week, let's look back and go a little bit in depth about the Crusaders 43-17 win against Cap City. Kind of really hinged on a kind of pivotal, 90 seconds or minute and a half, two minutes of game time basically last week.
Yeah, they're going into the game, there were questions. Obviously, you know, you lose your starting quarterback to injury.
Right.
And yet, you know, Austin Weaver had played, you know, the last three quarters and four or five plays against Rockridge the first quarter then. But, you know, you still, this is his first start at home, homecoming, big crowd.
Right.
Sophomore. What was going to happen?
Sure.
I think the first half was kind of a feeling out process, just letting him get his feet wet.
Okay.
You know, talked to Chris after the game, and I said, you know, things really, you know, got going in the second half. What'd you do? And he basically said, you know, you took the handcuffs off of him.
Okay.
Just let him play.
Sure.
And, you know, and you could tell that they started to throw the ball a little more and just look a little bit more like the Helias offense we've gotten used to seeing, you know, not only this year but for the past few years.
Right. And it sounds like, you know, when – in a game that's kind of tight at that point, you want to see if somebody's going to step up and make big plays. And it sounds like Helias made a kind of big play after big play after big play, which is what you want to see in that instance.
Yeah, but Capital City had cut it to 23-17 and had the ball after Helias turned it over when it looked like they were going in for a score late in the third quarter. And then basically in the space of maybe six plays, five plays, Capital City fumbled it back to Helias three times.
Right.
And then Helias on the very first play after the recovery, Weaver threw touchdown passes on all three.
Yeah.
And, you know, it turns a 6-point game into what turned out to be 43-17.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looked a little more comfortable to someone just looking at the score probably than it really was, you know, because it was a game for 2.5, you know, late into the third quarter. But then, you know, once they got those three scores, obviously it was over. And then you know, it was just, you know, play out that fourth quarter, try to get out of there healthy and get ready for next week.
The end result is the Crusaders moved to 5-1 overall, 4-0 in the CMAC, and it's a big game coming up this week. It has a lot to do with the CMAC race. It has a lot to do with the Mayor's Cup, but the opponent tonight is Jefferson City.
Yeah, I mean, that was really the first thing Chris really brought up was, like, this is our biggest game of the year.
Okay.
And it's for the reasons you talked about. Going into the year, Helias' goals, the last, you know, this for the fourth straight year, haven't changed. One, win the city championship, the Mayor's Cup. That means beating Capital City and Jeff City. Then it's winning the CMAC, which they did the first 2 years. Disappointed, mad as heck that they didn't win it last year.
Right.
Wanted to bring that back here. And then after that is when you get on to postseason of district and you worry about that then. But right now you have to take care of these first two goals, and they can take care of one of them tonight and take a big step toward the second one tonight as well.
Yeah. And I think there's so much that goes into this one. I mean, I think that, you know, we looked forward for so many years to a matchup yeah. with these two teams, and I think it doesn't probably lessen anymore as we get more and more of these games under our belt. It's still going to be a big game every time that pops up.
See, I think that way because, you know, we've talked about it for years. You've been around for years. I swore I would never see this game
right.
because it just was never going to happen.
Right. Right.
But then, you know, the conference gets together, and so they're going to play football. And you know, talking to Chris, the first game, you know, basically, yeah, this is a big game. This is maybe one of the biggest games we played in our program history. And then he says, kind of after that, they've sort of kind of treated it just like another game. And
okay.
and while it's big, I think it's big in the community, and it is obviously important. I think, you know, is Jeff's, I mean, you hate to rank rivals. Is Jeff City Helias the biggest rival in football? I don't know. Maybe,
right.
maybe not. You got Hannibal and you got Rockbridge because they played them for so long.
Sure.
Is this a game Helias wants to win for town bragging rights? Darn right it is.
Right.
And so I think it's big there. And I think if you look at the Jeff City side the same way, you know, yeah, you know, they played Hickman forever. That is a huge game for them. They,
right.
You know, and they're winning in that series. But winning this game for Jeff City would be important just for the first time they've ever beaten Helias.
Yeah.
That and would take a step keeping them in the CMAC race.
I was going to ask that because I can be the bad guy in this scenario and say maybe this isn't a rivalry until the Jays win one in this. And how much of that is just the fact that, you know, Helias has won the first three meetings now and it doesn't maybe become a rivalry until there's a little bit of a back and forth?
Then if you take that tack, I disagree with you a little bit. I think
okay.
rivalry, because if you take that tack, then Hickman Jeff City in a rivalry because Jeff City's won it 12 straight times.
Sure.
Or 13 now, maybe.
Right.
So I think it's a rivalry because these kids know each other.
Right.
They're, you know, they're friends. You know, there's friends they got on each team. They, you know, they go around town, hey, you're gonna win this game, the, you know, the school's interested. This is the biggest game on the schedule, even though it may not be the biggest rival. This, to me, every year, this is the game you want to win.
Right.
And I'm nothing bad against Capital City, but there's just not that history yet.
Sure.
You know, with how many years they were both schools and had teams and just didn't play.
Right. So I guess from the standpoint of, okay, this is a big game then and you want to be ready for it, how important then was it to get that first kind of game out of the way for Austin? And I mean, he finished up the game before that, so he's kind of now got like a game
yeah.
and a half under him. How much nicer is it probably to be going into this game with yet another week of preparation, knowing that he's going to be the guy, so that if you do want to put in a wrinkle or two specially for Jeff City, you're able to now do that because you're not just going, we've got to just keep it to the couple core things that we want him to take care of this week.
I don't want to dismiss that Rockbridge game, but he was just thrown in, hey, no time to think about it.
Right.
You got to go.
Right.
And so I think sometimes, you know, as an athlete, that just kicks in, I'm going to go.
Right.
You know, he had a whole week to think about what was going to happen
sure.
with Capital City. You know, big crowd for homecoming, first varsity start again, getting into all that. And he played well. You know, the offense kept, you know, got that working under him. And I think now with another week of practice, I think they've gotten more in the playbook. You know, with Sam Weirich being a senior, You know, he had been in the program. You know, they kind of knew the playbook front to back and just say, hey, you need to do this, need to do that, need to do this. Now it's getting to Austin's point to where Austin is now getting a few more of those pages in, and so I think they're going to be able to do a few more things tonight even than they did last week, and sure. I think they're just going to add to it every week as we get further and further along.
Yeah, and it's got to be kind of, you know, it's got to be kind of comforting to know that from the Hawaii standpoint that, yes, we're able to probably maybe open things up, do exactly what we want to do. If the situation calls for something, now we can probably do that if we need to. Now, by that same token, I think it's more going to be, I'm not so worried about Hawaii's ability to score, even with Austin being relatively new to the, I think they can pick up other places where they can get their points. I think that, to me, tonight's game hinges more on, is the Jeff City offense going to be able to have success against the Hawaii's defense? Because, again, I brought this up during the Jeff City podcast. I encourage everybody to go listen to that one as well. But let's just give you these numbers for the Hawaii's points allowed this year. It's 13, 12, 0, 30, 10, and 17. So it's not a bunch.
And 30 against
a very, 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 very good talented rare team. Yeah.
One thing, you know, Chris talked about, too, was very, very, very complimentary about the Jeff City offense. You know, in the preview and in today's paper, go ahead and give that a read, too, because there's some stuff in there. Says that Jeff City's offense is the most difficult one they've had to prepare for this season.
Okay.
It just for their scout team. You know, they do stuff that other teams just don't do. And trying to get the scout team up to speed enough to do that, to give the first team defense a good look, he said it was hard because of what they do and how good they are at it. And, you know, and he also said, like, you know, people have talked about Jeff City's offensive line may be the best line in the conference, and he didn't disagree with them.
Okay.
He said that this could be, as a group, they may be the best overall of the seven teams in the conference. And you know, that's quite a compliment because there's some pretty good offenses in this conference.
So if there is something in that particular matchup that has to go Helias' way, is it just, you know, is it going to be as simple as your line's got to match their line? Is it we have to key on somebody, shut this guy down? Is it a matter of all of that? Is it, you know, is there a certain matchup that if they can win, then they feel like that's going to go a long way towards deciding the outcome?
I don't know. I think it's hard to prepare for them, because you got to figure they've got something that they haven't shown anybody.
Okay.
You know, because it's week, what God, what even week is it?
It's seven. Week seven.
Seven, yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And so, no wait, is it?
Yeah.
It is seven. Okay, good. Gosh, I don't even know what week it is. You know, and so I'm sure that they have stuff that they've been saving maybe for this game.
Right.
And I think Helias kind of knows that.
Sure.
So, again, that makes it more difficult to prepare for. Jeff City runs the ball a lot. You know, not quite as much as, you know, I think Capital City had thrown the ball 13 times before they played Helias last week, and threw it 14 times against Crusaders.
Right.
The Jays have thrown it 35 times. So I don't know if they're going to throw it 36 times to try to beat the season total. That would be a stunner.
Right.
But, you know, I imagine they're going to throw the ball more, and maybe they might come out, you know, the wing T stuff that they run, you know, with the spins and everything, they may come out four wide sometimes, you know, because no secret, Helias played a 5-3 front against Capital City last week. There's a pretty good chance they're going to play a 5-3 front again this week against that running game and try to stop them. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a chess match to see what Jeff City can do to try to keep Helias from just stuffing them between the tackles.
Right. So, just to confirm for you, yes, it is week seven. If we're breaking up the season into thirds, we kind of got the first third
17.
Out of the way. We've got the second third out of the way. Now we're entering into that third of the season where you're kind of looking. If you're breaking down the chunks, you go, okay, these are the final three. And I think, you know, it's not. I'm not telling any tales out of school if I say that after this week, I think those two that will end the regular season are very, very winnable games. So if you look at it from the standpoint of, okay, where do we want to be after maybe the first third? Where do we want to be after the second third? And then where do we want to be after the third heading into the postseason? Do you think Helias is, even with all the kind of tumult that came with having to lose their quarterback, how do you think they're sitting after the second third? Do you think they're probably where they want to be after two-thirds of the way through the regular season?
Defensively, I think they get an A grade.
Okay.
You know, you can go back and look at that Ritter, you know, the first half of the Ritter game, they gave up 30 points, well, 23 points. Seven came on a kickoff return, or six came on a kickoff return. They played very, very well all year. Mm-hmm. You know, they held, you know, a Rockbridge team that had scored 66 points in the game, they held them to 10.
Yeah.
So they get, they're going to get an A. The hard thing to grade right now is the offense.
Mm, sure.
If you'd have asked me the first third, A.
Right.
You asked me up until the end of the first quarter against Rockbridge, A.
Right.
Now you get kind of a question mark.
Sure.
Because, and it's nothing against Austin Weaver, but you just, you just don't know yet.
Right.
Now, hopefully they can take this game and then the next two. So after nine games getting ready for districts, they'll be able, you know, okay, this is our offense now. We're ready to go.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of an incomplete there. You know, special teams, they've been up and down.
Okay.
And Chris has mentioned that, you know, that they have to get better there. That's something that is a little frustrating because, you know, while, yes, they did return a kick against kickoff return against Capital City for a touchdown. That was great, but you know the kicking game needs a little work.
Okay.
Still, but you know there are a lot of, you know, 95% of the schools in Missouri would take Eliza's kicking game
right
in a heartbeat.
Sure.
So it's just trying to find that little extra thing to get this team as good as it can be for when the postseason comes up.
And then I guess the other portion of that is as you're kind of trying to ramp things up and trying to get into, you know, the postseason mode as we get closer and closer, the one thing you want to be is healthy. Obviously, we've talked about one key injury, but how's the overall rest of the team health?
It's okay. You know, they're a little banged up in a couple spots, but, you know, Chris has been is very forthcoming all the time about injuries, and he says, look, you know, we've played all these games so far, and right now, you know, Trey Rice, who got injured late in the Hannibal game in the season opener, was back on the field this week, no pads, but was running routes, and he says he's making great progress,
okay,
and he thinks he will be ready for districts. That will be, you know, another receiving piece for that offense because he's tall and talented.
Okay.
You know, and right now it's just kind of surviving the bumps and bruises. They don't need to get anybody hurt, you know, because
sure,
losing Sam was difficult because, you know, it hurts them not only on offense but on defense because now Austin was a starting all-conference safety last year as a freshman, and now he doesn't play any defense basically because quarterback duties. So they don't need anybody else to get banged up. I think they're just looking to get through as healthy as they can be for the next, you know, three games.
All right. Guess I'll just ask you now, who comes out on top tonight at Ray Henches Stadium?
I think, again, I'm never going to pick against the Hawaii's defense.
Sure.
Because they can make really, really, really quick adjustments. You know, Phil Pitts is a master at it. You know, he gets, you know, okay, you're doing this, well, we're going to do this because we've gotten ready for it. I think I'm going to say, you know, last year was 38-17. I think it's going to be something similar. I'll say Hawaii's 35-14.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune. And get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.